Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. At the recently concluded ASEAN meeting, leaders of member countries have agreed to form a troika to lead the handling of the Myanmar crisis. Now, this troika will consist the outgoing ASEAN chair, Indonesia, the current chair, Laos, and the incoming chair, Malaysia. In recognizing the protracted state of crisis in Myanmar that would take longer to manage than just that can be accomplished under the current yearly chair, the task of galvanizing ASEAN into action will now fall to this troika of Indonesia, Laos, and Malaysia. Now, will this approach work to resolve the conflict in Myanmar? Joining me now is former Minister of Foreign Affairs Tan Sri Said Hamid Alba. He is the chairperson of the Malaysian Advisory Group on Myanmar and a council member of the ASEAN, the Asian Peace and Reconciliation Council. Tan Sri, thank you for joining me on the show today. ASEAN leaders have agreed to that the five-point consensus plan remains the main reference to resolve the conflict in Myanmar. Can I ask you, the fact that it's been 2 years, 8 months since the military junta seized power, they have defied almost every point in the plan since. Are you convinced that the five-point plan consensus is the way to go?
Thank you very much, Marisa. I think what is most important is what people, I think that in the outside, is measuring ASEAN. Is will it work this time? How serious we are. But I think at least there are signs of it being considered, or ASEAN showing its concern. All the leaders of ASEAN have expressed his concern for the non-progress of the five-point ASEAN consensus. But the thing is, Myanmar is very fully aware and acquainted with what ASEAN wants. What is most important to us to consider is to see whether Myanmar is responsive to it or not, or they consider this another things that have been formed for ASEAN for PR exercise, so that the outside world will look at ASEAN still, you know, seized with the matter, still wants to handle the matter. But whatever it is, even though I've got some negative views about it, I think it's a good move. The Troika or special envoy is not something new. So I think what I'd like them to say is, okay, what do they want to do? If the outcome is going to be the same, is there is not going to be a change, you know, whether be pre-coup, post-coup, and then the forming of the unity government, nothing has moved. And Myanmar, somehow or other, they know that ASEAN will not do anything. I think the Troika should give a serious indication that if this time we fail, we'll do something that is not usually done in ASEAN. You see, the problem with ASEAN is when we invited all the new members of ASEAN to join, even Myanmar, we did not set the conditionalities of being a member. It's obligation, responsibility, it's not simply of right. It is not a geographical, just simply a geographical assertion. It is an assertion that we want to achieve something, we want to contribute to stability, peace and security, development within our region, to cooperate. So I hope they give a very, very strong signal that they are going to be different this time.
Well, I think a lot of international observers agree with you there, Tan Sri, that Myanmar's generals have been, you know, can afford to be uncooperative to the five-point consensus because they're confident that ASEAN won't take tougher measures. Do you think ASEAN should set conditionality to its membership, for instance, expelling Myanmar for not making any progress, no inroads on the five-point consensus?
I think this has ASEAN has to be very concerned about it. Their reputation has been affected. Their credibility has been affected. I would like this time, if there is any, I think they should consider seriously about, you know, whether suspension or expulsion of Myanmar, that this is no longer a joke. You know, that, and I think even the UN has said that they want ASEAN as a regional organization to play the role. And I think this time, even other than the Prime Minister of Malaysia, that's has expressed very strong words and strong assertion, I think even the Singapore Prime Minister, you know, Indonesia is also frustrated. So I do hope the outcome this time, if there is no movement, any movement at all, we should consider either one of these alternatives, either suspension or expulsion.
Can I ask you what would hinder such tougher sanctions from ASEAN? What would be the barriers to adopting either a suspension or expulsion of Myanmar?
Well, I think if you have sanctions, for example, international experience of sanction, it has never worked. And the international community, whether at the regional level or at a bilateral level, have never abided by the sanction. There's always been somebody that's willing to deal. And I think Myanmar, we have to rope in. I think in this particular case, if you want sanction or you want suspension, the P5 must be serious about it. They must be of the same mind. You know, while we say that, okay, we do not want to have anything, investment, trade, we want to, you know, like in the case of Malaysia, for example, I think we are one of the biggest recipient of guest workers from Myanmar. And these guest workers have contributed to the Myanmar economy. It is over 400,000 every time there is a new workers. You go to all the restaurants in Malaysia or any working place, or you will see Myanmar. I think their people must pressure them. So I think we must stop taking new guest workers from that country. Unless it changes, we want to see the well-being, the human rights are protected, issues of governance are respected, democracy is respected. And Myanmar always say, oh, they're moving towards democracy. And every now and then they regress, they retract. So I do hope there is the move, not only words, you know, we have enough words. It must be action this time.
Tan Sri, can I ask you, outside of Malaysia's role within ASEAN, are there things that we can do as a country from a foreign affairs ministry perspective? Are there things that we can do as a country to pressure the military junta to cease the violence, to return to democracy?
I think my own view, I may not be right, but I think there are countries within the region as well outside the region. I think in the case of outside the region, we have China, who has very special and close relationship in all dimensions with Myanmar. I think there were indications that China was willing to play its role. But I think China must assert its influence. We want to bring stability. And the other one is India. India has got a very close relationship. These are all geopolitical issues. If we do not handle the issue very well, ultimately, I think the frustrations may bring in instability and security problems, or terrorism even, in the whole of South Asia region. So I think it has reached a stage where everybody must be of the same mind that we can no longer allow this to go on. Then I think Myanmar will take notice. But if they cannot do anything but another P5 members do trade with them or provide them the necessary funding to go on, or their economic projects are going on in a very big way, Myanmar don't see the need to even look at ASEAN when it comes to, when it comes to. So I think ASEAN, I believe that whatever, whether it is UN, whether it's P5, whether region, the solution as well as the problem is in ASEAN. We must do something that will register, you know, our final word. Okay.
But Tan Sri, I mean, I agree with you. It has to be stronger than just a statement condemning the violence. But ASEAN itself seems to be quite divided in terms of, you know, having direct contact with the military regime. I think Thailand has direct contact with the military regime. ASEAN as a bloc didn't allow Myanmar to attend the meeting, but there doesn't seem to be clear consensus as to whether all member countries in ASEAN should cut contact. I'm referring specifically to Thailand. How do we think that through? That within ASEAN itself, there's no clear condemnation from all member countries of the military regime.
I think, you know, there is a lot of paradox and irony to the whole dilemma of Myanmar's behavior. In the first place, at the time that the Thailand military regime was very sympathetic because they are also military regime. And they have cooperated and collaborated. They have got a lot of intertwined interest between them. Until now also, when ASEAN was making certain things, Thailand organized, you know, a meeting that I think countries like Malaysia didn't go. So I think Myanmar, no, it is a joke if you want to have a common position of ASEAN. We have never had any common position generally, I may be wrong, generally when it comes to geopolitical issue. And now we are also divided by the geopolitical issue and the tension between US and China. So ASEAN, that was formed with the sole intention of ensuring that we are not being used as a theater for big power rivalry, has become a theater of big power rivalry. So we take sides. So I think unless we stop this, then ASEAN is going to be ignored as a regional group. Even though I think many people say ASEAN has survived this long, trade has increased, you know, investment has increased, we have developed. But I think as a regional organization, we are not moving forward. That's what my concern is, we are not moving forward. And yet, as a group of 600 over million people, in this current cliche in the geopolitical situation of the world, we could play a fantastic role, either as a group middle power or as an individual middle power, because the world is so full of turmoil and there's a lot of conflicts around the world. At present, we can't do very much because every time we open our mouth, we can say, you know, you have on your home ground the problem that you yourself cannot solve. So that's how I look at the whole issue.
I hear you completely with the limitations of ASEAN. Is it still best positioned to be the linchpin to help resolve this conflict? Or should we be looking elsewhere? You mentioned several other international bodies, China even. Who do you think might be well positioned to convince the military junta to cease conflict?
I think we sometimes forgot about Bangladesh. Bangladesh historically, geographically, is the closest country and the biggest recipient of the problem. And they have always had contact with Myanmar. So I think any solution that we're trying to find, you have to rope in Bangladesh, because at present, I don't think Cox Bazar can actually get there. He's in a mess in that area. Yeah. Humanitarian, human rights, security, safety problem, everything. And you can't do anything. And I think it will be also a problem with the population of 130 million in Bangladesh. If they do not solve this problem of the border, you can cross the river, it's already on the other side. So I think Myanmar must look at it seriously. It's going to be a security, is going to be not a humanitarian, economic problem. And I think Bangladesh, moving very well as an economic power now of the region, its economy is growing very well. Bangladesh, I'm sure, they cannot afford to have this repatriation or the refugee issue unresolved. And I think, of course, I am at present very disappointed with the international system, the international order, because we allow a lot of abuses everywhere. So I think this is in favor of the people who do not respect international law. So it's a big problem. Okay.
Tan Sri, thank you so much for speaking with me. That was former Minister of Foreign Affairs Tan Sri Syed Hamid Alba. We're going to take a very quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. Let's continue our discussion about ASEAN's ability to effectively respond to the crisis in Myanmar. Debbie Stora joins us now. She's the founder of the Democracy Advocacy Group Alternative ASEAN Network on Burma. Debbie, ASEAN recently agreed to the formation of this troika to coordinate an ASEAN response to the Myanmar crisis. So the incumbent, the immediate past chair and the incoming chair, Laos, Indonesia and Malaysia. How do you view this move?
Well, Melissa, firstly, it was inevitable because there was Indonesia realized that they cannot solve the problem in 1 year as the chair. And there's a lot of consternation and worry about what could happen when Laos chairs ASEAN. Because if Laos was to by itself solely take leadership in addressing the Myanmar crisis, it would probably embrace the illegal junta and make things worse. So in a way, this is kind of a containment strategy. The troika has been used in the past for cases where ASEAN recognizes this is going to take longer than a year or two. But also it's kind of a containment strategy to make sure that Laos is kind of sandwiched by Indonesia and Malaysia, and it doesn't stray too far off the path already charted by ASEAN, which is the 5-point consensus, somewhat flawed, but still ASEAN refuses to give up the 5-point consensus. So they need to find a way to redeem it without Laos totally going off track and abandoning that strategy.
Is there a way to redeem the 5-point consensus? It's been 2 years, more than 2 years now. And at every turn, the military junta has ignored or dismissed the consensus plan. The fact that ASEAN is sticking to this as the preferred, the reference, the main reference to dealing with the crisis, how do we think that through? There's been no progress.
Well, the thing that we need to understand is that there's three key elements in the 5-point consensus. One is reduction of conflict. The other, humanitarian assistance and inclusive dialogue. Now, ASEAN can redefine and broaden what that means and actually have a time-bound implementation plan. So if we're looking at reduction of conflict, what we've seen is since the coup started in February 2021, 75,000 civilian homes burnt by the junta. This year alone, 35% of those homes were burnt so far this year. So there's been an uptick in violence targeting civilians. And this year, so far this year, the number of civilians killed in Myanmar airstrikes is double that of the civilians killed in Ukraine in airstrikes. So this is kind of scary, and ASEAN realizes and is panicking that the violence is not reducing, which means ASEAN needs to actually work with international community, the UN Security Council, but also use the leverage created by sanctions, including banking sanctions, to pressure the junta. At this time, ASEAN countries, Thailand, Malaysia, and Singapore, still are amongst the top investors in Myanmar, and therefore they're providing revenues to the junta, which the junta is using to get weapons to kill people. So ASEAN needs to back up its aspiration with action on that point. And on humanitarian assistance, ASEAN needs to work with people on the ground instead of hoping that this illegal junta will somehow cooperate. And when we talk about inclusive dialogue, it means making sure that ASEAN includes all sections of society in the resistance, whether it is the ethnic organizations, the resistance organizations, the political organizations, including the elected members of parliament, but also grassroots organizations representing diverse parts of the community, including young people. Because in the end, the future of Myanmar is going to depend on these young people.
Are you alluding to the fact that there hasn't been enough engagement, enough intersectionality in the engagement?
I think the engagement has been somewhat a little flat, a little bit shallow. And also, Indonesia has been rather discreet. They keep talking about quiet diplomacy where people are quietly engaged with. And I think it's time for ASEAN to step it up. Hey, not just telling Min Aung Hlaing he's not welcome, not just telling the illegal junta and its leader they are unwelcome at the ASEAN summit and the foreign ministers meeting, but at all ASEAN meetings, and start to welcome elected representatives of Burma, Myanmar to attend as observers. I think that engagement needs to happen. I think ASEAN needs to be more public and comprehensive in how it engages with the resistance and with the elected members of parliament.
Right. So I'm curious to know, because you talked a little bit about how the continued economic ties seem to be funding the junta's purchase of arms, and we see the junta tightening relations with China, with Russia on this front. How big are the concerns of the closeness of the military junta with Russia at this point?
Well, what has happened is that Russia has been one of the main weapons supplier to Myanmar and to the illegal junta, and also one of the main sources of protection internationally, including at the UN Security Council. But now the junta itself is actually giving weapons to Russia. And in July, it was confirmed by experts that mortar shells built, manufactured by the Myanmar military junta is being used by Russia to bomb Ukrainians. So I think, you know, it's not a one-way cooperation, it's a two-way cooperation. And we really need to nip that in the bud, because we cannot afford, I mean, the global community, let alone ASEAN, cannot afford to have an illegal junta that is actually contributing to invasion of another country in another part of the world.
Right. Debbie, two and a half years, so 2 years, 8 months since the military coup in Myanmar. Can I ask you how international attention has waned over that time, and what the impact has been to the people of Myanmar? Who are they looking to help step in and resolve the crisis? Is it ASEAN? Have they lost hope in ASEAN? Are they still, invested in ASEAN? Or what would be the solution moving forward, if not ASEAN?
I think the movement is somewhat tired of the fact that there have been a lot of statements, but key actions haven't really happened until relatively recently. For example, the US government has imposed sanctions on Myanmar Foreign Trade Bank and Myanmar Investment Commercial Bank, which is the main banks that process foreign transfers for the junta and receive foreign revenues for the junta. So, and that also means help the junta pay for weapons purchases. So I think we've seen some of the banks in Singapore and Bangladesh and elsewhere starting to realize that they cannot break these sanctions. But when we look at that, and we look at the fact that people on the ground are still suffering. They're still defiant. They still understand that they cannot afford to let this illegal junta win, and they continue to resist. Then they're saying, well, we are doing our part. Where is the rest of the world doing? And I think what I'm worried about is that while they understand ASEAN has a role to play, that if ASEAN doesn't step up its game, most people in Burma, Myanmar will start to see ASEAN as irrelevant because they don't see it as relevant to the creation of peace, the restoration of democracy, and a genuine transformation to a democratic federal state in the country. So this is their aspiration, and this is what they expect ASEAN to contribute to. But we haven't seen that yet. And I think ASEAN really needs to step up its game. Because if ASEAN cannot solve the Myanmar problem, we've got a whole bunch of problems coming up in this region. We've got climate change. We've got disease pandemics, because COVID's not going to be the only one. We've got a whole range of challenges coming up at us, and we still are not prepared to work in coordination. So at the very least, solving Myanmar is going to be an important step to ensuring for us to get the answer to this question. Is ASEAN relevant?
Debbie, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Debbie Stoddard there, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.